What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you're wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Peace and love is Rick the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And this is The God Show. And today, we have a very special guest. I call this man a brother. I watched the first industry party I ever went to where I saw bad chicks in Atlanta was this nigga's birthday. And you know what party it was too, right there on the Piedmont, Monroe area. That was the first time I was an intern and they invited me to and it was the baddest chicks I ever seen. I was like, oh, I got to get in this game. Uh-huh. And it was DJ Trauma's birthday. Let's give it up for DJ Trauma. Not only is he Dave Chappelle I'm about to say Dave Chappelle favorite DJ, but he probably is that too. Like, he's Dave Chappelle official DJ. He's a great party DJ. I always say you, Mars, Capri, E-Class, SNS, like you up there is one of those ones, but you travel the world a lot. Like you live a life. I don't know too many people. He has a getaway. I don't even think it's yearly. Isn't it quarterly now? Do you have a quarterly getaway?
It's quarterly? We have two now.
I know it's more than one.
We have two now. We have one. But we're growing.
I'm gonna go to one. It's just one is around my grandmother's birthday, and I never could go because we celebrate her. But I saw the second one. I was like, He thought about me. But he's known as a sniper in the industry. If you know better, you know better. He's a player. Everybody know DJ Trauma. Let me tell you how I heard about you. They say if Trauma throwing a party, all the girls are showing up. And I never understood that.
Fair enough.
I never understood that. Like, I'm like, what the fuck does that mean as a DJ? I was like, no, but when he does a party, all the bad ones show. Is that like a call and response?
That's how my retreat is.
I'm trying to find guys. Bro, it's like 5-1, bro. Trump, and by the way, we have a classic mixtape together called Black Beatles that we did in 2007 with R City. Trauma was our official DJ. So this is a friend. And I just wanted to showcase him because nobody understands this touring, this partying, this DJing, the concept of being a professional DJ. Some people play DJ, but you're a professional DJ.
For sure.
And I just wanted to shine a light on you, bro, because you deserve it. So, Trauma, how did you end up Trauma? Because, by the way, you can tell the other side, because Mars tells a story about how he was like, you was like the printer or something. Y'all was roommates or something like that.
Well, I was always a DJ when we came in. Me and Mars, we were in the same dorm together.
Yes.
So, like, I was a nerd growing up. I went to Bronx Science. I went to one of the top schools. I was on the path to be an electrical engineer, but I had friends. But I lived in New York, and in New York in the 80s, 90s, like you could go to the club at 16. My first club, I saw Tribe Called Quest, Clark Kent, and Red Alert. I was like, yo. And my friends were DJs, and I used to watch, because I was a nerd, I used to like, how's the equipment work? I used to ask so many questions. And they were just like, you know, you could be a DJ. And the thought had never, come across my mind. And I was like, yeah, but you need all these records, and the equipment looks expensive. And they were like, listen, you just start small, you start buying records, And the rest is history. Like, I literally never thought that one sentence changed my whole life.
That's crazy.
And I came to college. I still never really had done a party before.
Yeah.
Mars was a lot more advanced, but I was the one who had turntables.
Yes.
I also was the one who had connections.
Yes.
So I was always like my first party I threw in college was a reading period, and we had like 500 people. Mm. You know, so it was always like I always was that person, like trying to throw a party. I was always an entrepreneur. Yeah. I always had that kind of spirit. So like me and Mars, we had the opportunity to DJ in a cafeteria, and I had the speakers and the turntables. Yeah. Mars had more records than I did, so we partnered up, and then that's how me and him linked up, 91, 92.
And you guys were also some of the first guys to create a DJ crew.
For sure. In
the
Atlanta?
Super Friends, the Super Friends is like the first DJ crew that I mean, obviously we knew DJ Oompin, mm-hmm. but that was like Oomp Camp. It was like more about a record label crew that had DJs. Yes. Super Friends were a DJ crew.
So one of the things that happened here in Atlanta, and it's kind of gone back to it, is like promoters just didn't have respect for the DJs. I mean, even the.
Can you say that again? Hold on a second.
It's been a whole war between DJs, promoters.
No, because this is a real thing, especially in the start of this market. Promoters do not respect DJs in Atlanta. It's a real thing.
As somebody who now lives in LA, it's a different energy.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's a different care for just even the DJ equipment and how you present the DJ. It's just a different culture. Now I feel like Atlanta has the best DJs because they're surviving in a system that doesn't revere them.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Mm. So, but that's how it started.
Nurturing.
They're not nurturing them. They don't care about them. They won't put them on the flyer.
I really want to know, like, how can, and Rick, you chime in. Mm-hmm. How can a promoter or a club owner nurture a DJ? I never heard that before.
Little things.
Okay.
Let's put them on the flyer.
Yep.
Mm.
Let's promote, because you know if the DJ's whack, you're gonna hear about it.
Yep.
They're gonna complain. They're definitely gonna. The promoter will tell you. So if your DJ is rocking your club, promote him. Put him on the flyer. Make sure the equipment is dope. Make sure you have a good sound system.
Yeah.
Like I DJed a party here in Atlanta, and everybody has bottles and sections. It's all flying. The sound was trash, and I was just like. You brought me out here for this?
Yeah.
I was disgusted.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, you brought me out here and then you're gonna have a trash system?
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about right now? That's like ground one if you have a club, is your system needs to be popping.
Yeah.
But that is the norm in Atlanta.
Yeah.
All these clubs have trash systems. They don't have good DJ equipment. They hide the DJ in a corner. Mm-hmm. And I'm just coming from now a place where it's very different.
Mm.
Different is different energy.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, it's a trend that has just stayed with Atlanta. I think when the Super Friends was around, it started from almost necessity, where it's like, one, we knew we were good DJs. One, there was a few things. We wanted to be nationally known.
Yep.
We wanted more pay.
Yep.
And it would be to the point where like, Outkast's first album release party, they're bringing a DJ from New York. That was the thought, like, oh, we have to bring a big DJ. We have to bring a DJ from New York.
Mm-hmm.
Now it sounds crazy because like between like, you know, the Super Friends was kind of like the start of like Atlanta DJs getting nationally known.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
You know, I feel like the first really big DJ that really was nationally known was Nabs.
Mm-hmm.
But like Super Friends made it so like, oh, they're, and as the music changed, oh, they're the ambassadors of culture for DJs.
Yes.
Like they are, like we need to hit them to know what the new records are.
Yeah.
Like it changed. And I think, you know, Super Friends came at a point where music was changing and Atlanta was becoming like that hub of music. And so we wanted that same respect that artists were getting.
Yeah.
You know, or New York DJs were getting compared to
y'all
New York
music. Y'all was doing
photo
shoots. Y'all had logos. So, it was big.
I mean, we basically took kind of like the blueprint of Frontmaster Flex
Big Dog
and Enough to put Big Pitbull.
Big Dog Pitbulls.
And what's Enough?
Heavy Hitters.
And Heavy Hitters. We kind of took.
Yeah, heavy. I forgot. Heavy
we kind of took their blueprint, took the hottest DJs in the club, and then a lot of us were also the hottest DJs on the radio, and we just became friends and pooled our resources and decided to make ourselves look big. You know, like when All Star Weekend was here, we decided we're gonna blast off. We got all the same jackets.
Yeah.
We had the car with the wrap. You know, it took a little bit of creativity, a little bit of pooled money to make us all look big.
Yes.
And so that was kind of like the beginning. We were the first.
Yeah.
I mean, and at the time, like Drama and Sense the and them, they were
came
part,
after that. They were super friends. Yes.
They were super friends. Yep.
Then it turned to Legion of Doom after that. Huh? It turned to Legion of Doom after that.
No, I thought they turned to the affiliates. Yep.
So then the thing about our crew, we were mostly people from other places.
Yes.
Mostly. You know, so, you know, we were doing the downtown clubs or we were on the radio, but a lot of us weren't from Atlanta. So that's why then you had the Legion of Doom, which were DJs that were from here and did like a lot of the clubs that were in the, you know, in the hood and stuff like that. Where a lot of the music was broken, but at the time, I mean, we were just the first people. We were the first
branded in the city.
And especially we understood city branding level. And what people DJs realized, they were like, if we band together,
but
we have power.
But you know what? Another thing I'm going to give you guys, being an Atlantan, you know, if you're from Atlanta, you really hang out on the outskirts of town. Like, you hang out whatever part of 285 or whatever the circle you are. So coming, you know, the city was kind of for like out-of-towners or people that was really getting money in their respective part of town. So it was a big deal that we partying in the city rather
absolutely
than holding that.
For sure.
The Super Friends were kind of like, to me, like the first like city that said Atlanta is here. The party in Atlanta matters. Like kind of like a little bit right before AG, right? Because AG kind of took it, but you guys were like, when you saw the Super Friends, that shit meant you were going to get a fly ass party in the city with fly, you know what I mean? Like it was branded already, so.
Absolutely. No, I think that individually, we were all dope. I mean, you see this in the cartoons.
Yes.
Individually, the superhero is dope, but when they come together, it's
incredible.
It's incredible. And that's what happened. And then at the time, you had Mix Show Power Summit.
Yep.
Or you had all these different things. So we come down to Mix Show's Power Summit.
T-shirts.
We giving away T-shirts, everything. We have our jerseys on. And then I was like, we look like a big deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even before we were a big deal, we looked like a big deal.
And y'all felt like it too. We walked in the room like, friends are here.
And, you know, like I said, Atlanta was becoming that city where that was important. Like, you had to, if you wanted to get your records. I mean, one time, somebody disrespected us.
Yeah.
We took all their records off the radio. The next day, they had to come see us.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Power to DJ, especially at that time.
It was a problem.
We've done that before, too, at the Uni back home.
By the way, let's
it's a problem. It was a problem.
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
I got so many questions for you, but I want to ask you, because it's like so many roads you go down. I want to ask you, you're one of the people who, like, when people see me and they're like, Ray, you doing good. I'm like, yeah, but I got friends that are doing really fucking bad. Like, I got friends that I just saw post videos of Oprah telling him how fire he is. DJ and Beyonce and Jay-Z's gold party where people are hoping to get invited. This nigga's the DJ. Like, how, from the inside where you are, how does that happen? Like, is it like, I'm with Chappelle now, price going up. Oh man, I just did Oprah, price is up even more. Or is it like, I don't even feel like somebody can book you now. Like, I almost feel like it's like, he gotta wanna show up and spin. I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, give me a look inside, like, you know, how does that work?
It's funny because a lot of it started really organically. Even becoming Dave's DJ was organic, but I was his DJ for a while and still trying to, you know, hustle and get gigs. And it was just like, The relationship with Jay and Beyonce's team became one. I knew Beyonce from when they were kids. Guys used to work for Sony, but it was like, oh, can you do my cousin's? Somebody came to me. He's like, oh, her cousin needs a DJ. You should take care of her because that's her cousin. But I met the cousin and she was cool. And I was like, yo, I got you. I'm gonna do this.
Yeah.
I brought my own equipment. Like it was like. And this is me already past.
Yeah.
I'm in doing
this is you still
DJ.
Knowing I got
I'm
work
already traveling
I
the world.
That.
But
I love that.
I was just like, yo. And one of my boy Jaha Johnson, asked me
to
do the
Jaha
party. And I was just like, cool. You know, I know Jaha since he was Mars's roommate. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, cool, I'm going to do this party. You know, I'm going to show love. They saw me there. And then it was just like, I just stayed in touch. They wanted me to do something else, but it couldn't happen. But I was just like, I'll still give you the playlist, but just, you know, when you have something big,
yeah, let me know.
Just look out for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then they needed somebody for their baby shower. I told them no, because I was supposed to be in Thailand.
Oh, wow.
With Estelle. And I said, wait, let me look at these flights again. I was at dinner with somebody, my friend April, who's an ill stylist. She was just like, she looked at me and said, are you crazy? She's like, call them right now and tell them you could do it. You need to figure that out.
We'll get a jet if we have to. We got to get there. Yeah, we got to get in the room.
And I was like, you think? Because my thing is, my word is my word.
For
if
sure.
I say I'm going to be somewhere and I'm going to do something. Matter of fact, after Thailand, I was supposed to go to New School Rules.
Yep.
And raise
business. You're the reason why I went to Europe for the first time. I went to Europe with you for the New School Rules.
New School Rules. It's a conference in Rotterdam. So I was supposed to do that. And, you know, if I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. I don't want to not show up. But my friend was like, you're out of your mind. And I said, am I? I should call them back, right? And she was like, yeah.
I was like, what? You talking about?
Immediately. Like,
the baby shower? I'm like, I'm in the
house. So here's the ill part, though. I flew 25 hours to Thailand.
Oh, wow.
Got off, went straight to sound check. We drove around Thailand, me, Estelle, and a few others drove around Thailand just because we had never been there. Went to dinner, did the show, got back on the plane, flew 24 hours, went straight to sound check for the baby shower.
Oh, wow. That's...
And I DJed, I DJed, I think, like 9 hours. Like
everybody danced, having a good time.
You know, it was a vibe because it was like a pool party.
Yeah.
It was chill. It's family time. But that's like how it was, like little stuff like that. I did a dinner and I was doing my prototype set, which is all samples. And it was just a small dinner, 30 people. A lot of stuff happens organically. I was saying Kelly Rowland's husband, Tim's birthday. What do I play for? Like, this is all gonna be like people who have been in the music industry. I got something for them. Let me just switch it up. I'm gonna play all samples.
Yeah.
Cause I know this sample set kills people. So I was just like, let me do that. It was kind of like, I played Picasso original. And Jay came up to him and was like, is that the original? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, walks away.
Yeah.
Don't say nothing else. Nipsey Hussle comes. He's like, yo, I'll pay you to make this mix for me. And I'm just like, you don't have to pay me. I have these up online.
Yeah.
Just give me your number.
Yeah.
And I'll shoot them to you. So gives me the number. Next day, I see him download them. I send him to see him download them. About a week later, he's like, yo, can you do? I want you to do my album, a Grammy album nomination party.
Mm.
And this party was ill. That's part of the story that Dave was telling.
Now,
that
I was
about to
say, true. Chappelle told that story last night. Yeah,
Snoop, T.I. I invited Dave.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like a coronation. Like you saw, he's gonna be that next dude.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks later, I got a call from one of Jay's people. Who was like, "Yo, we want you to do that sample set in the beginning of the Gold Party." I'm like, what?
That's the party. Right. That's above the Rock Nation brunch now. Like, what?
And they're just like, yeah, we just want you to do an hour in the beginning. And I'm just like, oh, this is like, you know, I get me a tuxedo. I buy a tuxedo. Yeah. Like, I'm ready.
Right.
I'm ready. Yes. I do the set, and the lineup was me, Black Coffee, and then No ID. And so, like I said, sometimes being in the right place and be prepared is how things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I do my set. You know, it's a vibe. I went from the samples to the classics, a vibe. I'm done.
Yep.
Black Coffee comes on. He plays house music, you know, African house. It's a vibe.
Yep.
No ID gets on. And when I tell you, I can't even, I've never ever to this day been to a more celebrity party than that particular year of the Go Party. Never, ever in my life. It was crazy.
Are you nervous at this moment? Is it like...
Nah, because I'm playing early.
Gotcha. Oh, okay, gotcha.
Right. There's nobody
like,
there.
Like, what? Yeah.
And here's the thing about Jay and Beyonce. When they have a party, they come sometimes before the party even starts.
Mm.
And they stay the whole time.
Mm.
So anyway, I'm dancing with superstars.
Yeah.
Like, this party is like no fluff.
Yes.
At all.
It don't need no...
Everybody in there is like a high-level celebrity.
Yes.
Or a high level exec. And I'm just like, I'm in there, I'm dancing with this actress. I get a tap on the shoulder like, hey man, we want to hear some hip hop shit. Because No ID's playing like classics.
Yeah.
I'm like, No ID. And it's like 30 minutes.
Like, what are classics though? Like, what classics?
You know, like Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Well, we vibing.
Yeah, oh, yeah, gotcha.
We like, I'm on the dance floor with I don't even say the actress' name. But I'm like, there, like,
it's up, nigga.
I'm all the way up. And
if the Super Friends wait. Now, like,
no. Yeah. Listen, I get a tap on the shoulder. We want to hear some hip hop. And I'm just like, yo, he just got on. It's like, he just got on maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to No ID and being like, get off.
Yes.
Not happening. Yes. I have too much respect for him.
That's Dion.
And I did my job.
Yeah.
And it's free bottles of Ace. Mm-hmm. I got my gold bottle in my hand.
Yeah. You had the gold bottle with a gold bottle.
I'm straight in a video.
Yes, nigga. I love that.
I like do the little slide. If I was like, yeah. I slide to the other side of the room. And at this time, I had DJ Serena's wedding before.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, saw them and like, you know, chopping it up or whatever. About 20 minutes later, I get another tap. Now it's like Pecos and Tata. Like, you need to get on.
Yeah.
Now this is at 2:30.
Yeah.
Party's supposed to end at 3. So I'm like, cool.
I'll do 30 minutes.
But it's packed.
Yep.
I get on. Definitely top 3 sets I've ever done in my life.
So like when you're doing a set like that, you feel like you in your zone? Do you feel like Superman? Like, how did that feel?
I'm just like, I'm like, this is it. This is the moment
that you've been preparing for your whole life.
Prepared for my whole life. Yo, I go in there. That's when Sicko Mode had just come out. Had first song, and you just see the crowd just goes all the way up. The party's supposed to end at 3. Party ends at 6. We go crazy. I mean, crazy. And then it's just like Dave came, Puff ended up coming. It's like when I tell you every celebrity you could ever think of was in this party.
Yeah.
In music, like, everybody's like, who's your top 3 rappers or your top 10? They were all there. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And I went crazy on that party.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. The crazy thing is this, you can't, at that party, you can't have no cameras. So there's no documentation at this party.
No footage, no nothing.
Nothing. No footage. It's just a story.
It's just a story we tell on the podcast. The story tell the guys, yo, let go tell the story. So how did you end up with Dave? And like, do you ever, and I'm really asking you this, it's probably a mic question, but I'm gonna ask you anyway. Do you ever feel resentment from your peers? Because you were literally in the slums in Atlanta with us one day, and then you were on a private jet the next day, and it was like, we see this nigga once a year. And it's like, did you, I just had that, like, did you feel?
No, I never really felt that. I always felt.
Because you a likable guy. Everybody likes you. I'm like, if somebody, like, nobody has ever said nothing bad about
Trump.
I've
never felt hate like, oh, man, fuck him. But I've definitely felt hate like people going to Dave and like, yeah, I think you should let me be the DJ. Now, that has happened.
Oh, yeah, of course. A lot.
So, but, you know, it is what it
and
is.
And you have to, and I would say, we're going to do this. Like, Rick, you're in the DJ world. What DJ do we know that's not an artist? Okay. Not Khaled.
So not Khaled, not Clue, not Flex. Go ahead.
Not even Clue and Flex.
That was said, not them.
No, you include them in this.
Okay.
What DJ has more iconic pictures on their Instagram than Trauma? Like sometimes I go like Trauma, I ain't like, if y'all don't follow this man, like this man to be on stage at Madison Square Garden with Dave Chappelle, John Mayer, fucking like, and just him on, it's like, who the fuck is this guy? It's like, that's the nigga I know right there.
Pictures like that.
Like, bro, like D-Nice, none of them have the iconic
pictures. I would say the only ones I would think would be Cassidy.
Yeah, but they.
D-Nice maybe, Young Guru, but that's a cheat code because he's with Jay anyway, he's with them.
But there's always, to me, there's always look like, we got dressed up and we're here today and we got dressed to take pictures. Trauma looks like, I'm with my homies. Oh yeah, me and Oprah just chilling right now. Like, this the homie right here. Like, you know I ain't bullshit. Like, what DJ has more iconic pictures on Instagram?
Not more. MOS has some, but not enough.
Big shout out to my boy Matthew Paton, a Candy T-Man on IG. He takes the best pictures, the like, You know, you're just iconic, hanging pictures. Yes. You're just like right now, if we were sitting here, boom, yes. Picture.
I'll be looking at your shit. Because, you know, like, these people are still icons to us. And don't get me wrong, as much as you're in the business, they're still levels to the room.
Yes.
Right.
Like, that gold party room, that A1. Is another level.
I never seen nothing like it.
And you've seen a lot. You know what I'm trying
I've
to say?
Seen a lot.
And you've seen a lot. So I'm like, how the hell did you, like, because I'm looking at it like, I'm like, if I was a DJ, I'd probably be jealous of Trump. Like, I cannot help it. Like, how the fuck? It's like the only other meteoric rise like that. Atlanta has two meteoric rises in history. That was like from 0 to 100. Yours, Polo. When Ooh. Polo went from Jim Crow.
True.
Yeah.
True. Label deal at Interscope.
No, he was the man. He turned
bringing Jimmy Iovine to Atlanta. It's certain motherfuckers that, because in Atlanta, we a community. We all love each other. We all show up for each other. But it's certain times where you like, okay, I ain't gonna see him that much no more. Like, when I saw you, I was like, this, because first of all, I don't know shit. Chappelle is my favorite comedian all time. I think he's the greatest. I put him above Richard Pryor, put him above everybody, because I don't know if he's a Virgo, he makes sense to me, I don't know what it is, but this nigga is incredible. So that's already like, nigga, last night at the show, bro, I ain't lying to you. And by the way, I've been this 20 years. It's not a point where I'm looking at it, I'm like, Ray, stop for a minute. You're in a room with about 400 people with the greatest comedian to ever live.
And you left so fast. I was like, where'd you go? Because
like, they was like, us, they was kind of like pushing people out. And I was like,
I know, but I was going to bring you backstage. I was just like, you said it so fast. I was just like.
Because I knew I was seeing you today and I wanted to thank you. But I like I'm still a fan of this shit. Like, you never should get jaded. Never like, I love that you can acknowledge that. I hate when people are like, oh, that's nothing. No, that's something, my nigga. That's a room that motherfuckers don't make it to, and you was there. So when I seen with Chappelle, I already was like, man, good for Trauma. Good, because Trauma was making remixes, DJing. He was hustling, you know. And you, and by the way, hustling with a smile on his face. Never, you could sometimes, you know, the nigga going through some shit, you can look at him and tell, like, I don't know what's going on with that nigga, but it's something. So I'm gonna say what's up to him, and I'm gonna go over here because I ain't did it, my nigga. It's not my fault, but you always had a smile. So when you went there, it was like, it's kind of like when you see a friend find their lane. You know how this is. Like, you got DJ friends as you like, keep going. It's like 48. You're like, I'm telling you, it's coming. But it's like, bro, you found your lane. And that shit was amazing. But I'm just like, there had to be. When you posted the Oprah thing. And by the way, his videos and pictures don't be like in the club. It'd be like in a backyard. And it's like 30 people there. And Oprah just walks by. And it's like, nigga, stop. Nigga, what are you doing? Like, nigga, don't act like that's nothing. Nigga, that's incredible, but nigga.
It was crazy.
And then, by the way, she's celebrating you like, you amazing. It's like, she know you too.
That was probably the most, like, illest experiences ever.
And bro, you a worldwide traveler. What's your favorite places? Give me your top three or five favorite places to DJ. Where's DJ? Fun?
Where it's fun. Okay, the first trip that and you probably remember this because you were this is when we were all hanging out like together. The trip I took to Nigeria, I randomly was doing all the hot clubs in Atlanta. I saw my man at Enterprise. It's like, yo, I heard you doing parties in Africa. I want to go to Africa.
Mm.
And then just randomly, maybe like a month later, hit me like, yo, I have an opportunity. Went to Nigeria, to Lagos for the first time. And this is one of those points of my life where everything like pivoted, because once I went there and I had so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I DJed I was there for like 10 days. I DJed like every other night. Nights I wasn't even supposed to DJ because I was having so much fun.
Just doing.
And the music was so crazy. And this is like 08. This is before this wave has hit. Yeah. And I remember coming back and being like, yo, this African music is crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. I was like even like WizKid, when like Akon and Simon, I had come back and like, yo, I can't remember who was his A&R. Like, yo, this WizKid kid is crazy. And then Verse ended up doing a remix on his joint. And I was like, this kid is going to be the next kid. He's crazy. And I was like 2009, 2010. And so like that trip right there and Lagos in general, like, in terms of having fun, and going to the club, and kicking it, unmatched.
So Legos.
What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And I want to ask you, are you ever frustrated with uploading a video to YouTube and you get no views? I know I was when I first started. If you're a music artist and you have your own podcast or your content creator, look no further. WAM Promotions has gotten you covered. They specialize in high-end targeted YouTube campaigns that deliver real views, real subscribers, and most importantly, real growth. So if you're struggling with real organic YouTube growth, I'm here to tell you to go on WAM Promotions and use the promo code GODS and receive 20% when you check out. Tell them Ray sent you, you got 20% off. Let's go, guys. I'm looking to see you guys on the charts. Let's go. Give me two more places that you just love.
I love going to Australia and to Melbourne or even Sydney, because they, when you, they party and they appreciate, they appreciate you.
Got you.
Let me think. After that, so many countries.
I want to do this then. Let's talk about the slums. Mike, I want to get into the slums, right? Let's talk about the party promoting and the DJs in the clubs. That's the slums of you right now, my nigga.
You're like, what are they doing in there? They're still doing that? Let's go to the slums, right? So look,
I do.
There's been a lot of talk about the clubs losing the momentum, partying, changing sections, DJs not getting paid. There's a whole grand scope that we speak about in our culture, especially we've done on this show where it was like promoters don't respect the DJ, and the promoters are like, the DJs don't respect the craft, and there's all these things. And by the way, this is beneath you. This is your past, okay? We're gonna look back at your past. I wanna ask you, what would you suggest or what would you say? Looking at it from your perspective, like, what do you see club life going? Are you optimistic? Are you like houses? Like, what are you seeing?
So what I see, a couple of things. One, club life in general is contracting.
Yes. Yep.
I mean, and it used to be a slow decline, pandemic.
Shop Macy's VIP sale going on now. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 30% off the latest fall trends from designers that rarely go on sale. And save 15% off skincare, makeup, fragrances, and more. Plus, shop fall specials for even more great deals on top brands at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Accelerated that?
Yep.
It's a combination of sections.
Yep.
Phones.
Yep.
Phones, good one.
And really, what did you go to the club to do? Meet girls or vice versa? You don't have to do that no more.
Yeah.
You could do that on your phone. You could just swipe. Mm. Why would I go spend money when I could just...
I never thought about that.
Real talk.
100%. So you only really now go out to celebrate something. Oh, it's a birthday.
Or experience something.
So now the people don't just go to clubs to hang. One, because... clubs priced just going to the club to hang. They just priced you out.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know? And then it started to just not be fun.
Because it feels like it's declining and the industry is like kind of facing its like demise in front of us. And people are really mad at it rather than creating a better experience. Like, because it's not like we don't want to party no more. It's just... I'm not paying $700 at the end of the night to feel like that.
Yeah, I think what I've seen, especially with the younger generation, is that it's gone back to like honestly the 80s and 90s, where they're just the cool places to go are the specialty parties. You remember when you couldn't go to no hip hop party on the weekend? It was only like on the middle of the week.
Middle of the week.
Yep.
It was like the Tuesday was release Chili Pepper. Yep. You know, like. Mm-hmm. It's going back to that for that younger generation, where it's just like now it's the specialty parties, it's the traveling parties. It's the like, okay, you know that everyday people is gonna be your waves.
Yes.
You don't have to spend a gang of money.
Yep.
But you're gonna go in there and you're gonna sweat. You're gonna come out naked because you're gonna have the time of your life. And I feel like those are the parties, and that's where nightlife is going. It's going to where people are actually gonna have a good time, because at the end of the day, I think, you know what also is? The consumer has become smarter.
Yes.
Why would they become more informed? I always say this. One of the biggest destructions of black wealth
has been bottle service.
Yes.
If you think about how much wealth we've wasted on bottle service, it would disgust you. You're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars that is not going to your community, not going to whatever, to your business, that people are just wasting.
Yes. And not only, and not only that, to add to what you're saying, it's we know it's a 500% markup, and we still do it.
You still do it. And, you know, it's because, and when it started to just be like sections are now the whole club, and you don't have a dance floor anymore, and now with the economy, you know, that we got hit with a slow economy, mm-hmm. you get hit with the pandemic, and now people are more educated, because people like you got podcasts like Earn Your Leisure being crazy with it, yep. because people are now thinking like the next wave of like rights, human rights, is going to be economic rights. Before yeah. it was like civil rights. Yeah. The next one is mm-hmm. is yes. economic rights. Like, because if you have money, it's different.
Yes.
Life is different. You can like do different things. You different. Can influence and do, you can influence people in a different way.
Yeah, you can buy friends
And
now.
I feel like that's the next journey. And you see people like rising up, like, I'm not spending $1,000. I could put that $1,000 in a mutual yep. fund.
Yo, I'm being honest with you. This is random, but I've been putting since my daughter was born, just randomly. I'm like, let me just put some money away. I put $1,000 away a month. I think it's up to like $82,000, $83,000. And I doubled it like a month ago. I'm like, you know, let me double it. But when you look at your money different, when you start understanding money differently, we don't talk enough about that. And to me, it's like, we got to decide. I mean, that's why I believe in the TAC and the, yes. that business, because you want to feel good. We just don't want to spend. It's expensive to go outside, my nigga.
Yes.
We paying $100 a park. Hookah's $100. You paying fucking $1,200 for a bottle. And we ain't even fucking. And we don't even know we having a good time right. after we leaving here.
And how many people can afford that? And
that's my point.
It changed. And nowadays, it's like, I'm not going to spend $200-$300 before I have my first drink or my first bite of food, and I don't even know if the party gonna be good.
Yeah.
So people's like, wait a second. But specifically in this market, I'm not gonna come to the city. I'm gonna stay in Camp Creek and party. I'm going to U-Bar.
You look.
Yes. I'm staying in Marriott. I'm going to Smyrna. Doing that.
Yeah, 100%. You look at somebody like DJ Cash.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday nights, Africa. I'm
Rock
a piano night.
Killed it.
Where I'm a piano really is celebrating dance and having fun. It's crazy. He not beating you over the head for a section.
Nope.
Because that's going to defeat the party in the long run. And yes, it's the short money. And I think promoters got so used to making so much money promoting parties that now they feel like that's the norm, because that wasn't always the norm.
They trying to get money from everything.
Yes.
You know,
parking, everything costs. Everybody, nigga, you got to tip the nigga in the bathroom when you want to piss. And he looking at you like, nigga, I ain't even got cash on me. Now I'm like, what? My hands is wet. And he looking like, grab a napkin. I'm like, bro. You got Cash App, don't you? So I'm gonna put my phone on the Cash App.
Quality of service went down.
Yeah, it became all about money. It became transactional.
Yes.
And that's what happened to us. Everything became transactional.
The things that are successful now are the places where people are having fun.
Yes.
Yep.
Period.
Yep.
It's the best parties that I go to, and I was always one of those DJs. I liked going out.
Yeah.
I liked having fun. I liked to go and dance and have a good time. So I always was one, when I wasn't working, I would go out. There's a lot of DJs that never go out. I do. So now I look at the landscape and I'm just like, I can see the difference of what parties are successful and seem like they're going to have longevity, and the ones that are not, or where they have to always have a celebrity or always, that you can't just be. You just can't be like, we're having a party and it's going to be dope.
Yeah.
They can't survive.
Yeah. So we have a game we like to play. I think it'll be fun. But I want to ask you before we do that. DJ Trauma, we're celebrating your biggest moment in your life. It's your day. You are not DJing. You ain't. Give us your five lists for you. Like, if I can't DJ that big moment, here's the list that I got that you want there to DJ for you. Like, who's your DJs that you look at?
I'm going to have... If it's my party and I want to party the way I want to party, let's see. I think I'll have Jazzy Jeff. I'll have Black Coffee.
Jazzy Jeff is
Black Coffee?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Have Black Coffee. I'm gonna have. I think I still will have Kid Capri, because that was like my. That was like.
I heard he's like the man when it like.
That was like who we. That was who. That was when I saw him DJ. I was like, oh, I'm not DJing.
Like, oh wow! Like yeah, like
I'm not DJing.
Yeah,
that's what DJing is.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
I would have Mars.
Mars is ill.
And then I would have. I think I would have D-Nice. I have. He is good at curating a party, so you have a good time. And I like the way he spins.
Yeah, for sure. So we have this game we play called Making a Cut, where we give you three options, and you have to pick those options, and you got to decide to sign one,
okay,
cut one, put one in development. It's three options. It might be, we might give you a DJ, we might give you a team, we might give you anything. It's just three options, right?
Okay.
So, and if you choose to not answer, we'd rather you answer, but if you choose not to, it's we're connected to a nonprofit called the Creative Academy, and you know, it's $20 a question. We probably ask about four or five, but it's gonna be fun. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Favorite, you DJing?
Yes.
We got London, Australia, and Nigeria. What are we doing?
Okay, Nigeria, I'm signing.
Mm-hmm.
Australia, I'm developing, or in London, I'm cutting.
London, you ain't got no vibes there? I feel like you just kill it there.
It's fun. I have a great time, but I feel more connected in Nigeria and in Australia.
We had a party. I'm gonna give you scenarios. We had a party. Party's going crazy. We just want to keep having fun. You got to pick one artist to play the music to keep the party going. Mm. Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Prince,
mm-hmm.
Stevie Wonder. By the way, those three, if you go to any black party with any quality DJ, those three you're going to hear for sure.
Minimum five records each. Minimum.
What?
That's a good one.
Signing Michael Jackson. I mean, signing Stevie Wonder. No, that's my favorite.
I'm going to say Off the Wall album.
Stevie got those smokers, man.
If we're talking about partying, then 100% Michael Jackson.
Yes.
It's a party. Like, it's the gold party. You only can play one of them.
It's 100% Michael Jackson.
Got you.
Next would probably be Stevie Wonder, and then I have to cut Prince, which sounds crazy.
Prince, they say.
Because we have the same birthday, but.
Gemini, yeah.
At a party.
They say Prince had a woman on the floor fucking. That's the difference. Like, Prince made you want to have sex. That's what they said. That's what I'm like.
At a party, that would probably be mine.
All right. DJs. Jazzy Jeff, Kid Capri, Clark Kent.
Yeah, I might have to donate on that.
$20.
I'm about to say, I knew that was coming. That's too hard. I'm sitting here like, who are you?
And they're gonna say what they did. And Sean, when I ask you that question, they all go like this.
I'm about to say. Because, no, here's the thing.
It's like, it's hard because Clark Kent was like our
OG.
But he was also the person who mentored me and Mars. Like, he would take us under his wing.
Mm.
Him and Biz would take us under their wing and really, like, show us how do we get out of just being Atlanta DJs. They would give us game.
Mm.
I mean, Kid Capri was Kid Capri. We used to just see him just do shit that was crazy.
Yeah.
And Jazzy Jeff, you know, I mean, he's like,
he might be
also like, you just watch him do amazing things. And I feel like he's always been like he's always curated, like, culture, like, you know, he had producers. He's like always been that person that's helped the culture go to another level.
I got to ask you this. This one is gonna be kind of funny. Because I'm trying to get. I got a list of stuff. I'm just like, which one do I want to give him? All right, I'm gonna give you this one. Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, Chappelle.
Well, we actually always.
That's so easy. It's like, come on. <for God. laughs> Don't forget who paid you.
Let me think about that. It's not. It's hard to say. I mean, obviously, I'm going to keep Dave, but the other two, I've never seen them live.
Yeah.
But I respect both of them equally. Yeah,
do you ever get tired of seeing Dave live? Like, Is it the same show?
I would say that when he gets to the right before he's going to do a special.
Yeah.
With then I've seen it probably at like at least 50, 60, 70 times.
Mm.
I don't need to watch it anymore. Right now, it's the fun part. Like what you saw when he's building.
Yes.
It's like every day is something new. You just be like, yo, did he just do that? Yeah. Wait.
Yes.
Or just like to watch.
What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about YKTV Magazine, which is the number one magazine for prison entertainment. These prisoners are sitting in jail. They have nothing to do but read these magazines and read your ads, buy your music, support your business, anything that you can do that's online commerce. They already have published over 140 magazines with 36 major artists that have covered it, and I'm giving you an opportunity to advertise this magazine and get directly to an audience that you know has the time and the money to spend. Info at the bottom, info at the God Show. Holla at us, whether you're an artist, producer, whoever you are. We can help you with your business. Holla at us to get to YKTV.
He might say a premise and have nothing. And even a lot of times the premises are funny, but he don't really have the joke yet. And then you watch him the next day, he has a little bit of a joke. And then, 2 months later, it's just like,
a whole 15, story now. Yeah.
It's a 15-minute bit, and you're just like that part of it is my favorite.
Like watching a master at work.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, I got one for you. This is a good one. You got a choice. This is actually really a good one. I want to see what you say. You got a choice to DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Arena, 20,000 people. You've mm-hmm. done that. House party. Lit as fuck. You know, one of those house parties where everybody hitting
strobe
the
light.
Everybody hitting the roof. That one. Or private party,
house
go
party.
Room, go party, Oprah, like which one?
So I think the most fun for me is going to be the house party. 100%.
Why is the house party more fun?
Because I'm curating the vibe. It's all about, it's probably going to be all about what I decide to make the night be. And it's just usually house parties, everybody's guard down. Even if you're an industry, if you're at a house party, you're just like, your guard is down. You're just going to be, and let's be honest, most people got in the music industry because they liked music and were fun people.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
There's some people who were nerds, but most people in the music industry were fly people.
Yeah.
And so when they're like not having to be on their industry shit, the party's fucking fun.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm asking. Like, because you're the curator. I'm like, which one would you rather like?
So for me, like, I know this because I used to do a house party in LA. And we had, it would be like where industry people would just be able to like just be chilling.
Yeah, breaking.
And then we would have younger people who never partied like that before because they don't party like that.
Yes.
And they would just be like in awe, like, what the fuck is going on right now?
Exactly.
And I think that's, for me, that's fun.
So I'll make sure for record, you're signing the house party.
I'm signing the house party.
Okay, what are we developing?
I'm definitely developing the gold party, private party. No question.
For sure.
Without question.
So we cut to 20,000 people. We've been there, done that already.
Yeah, I mean, I love it.
Yeah.
I got one for you. As a DJ, doing one of your parties,
right
with your crowd, a set from the 70s, a set from the 80s, or a set from the 90s?
That's a good one.
I think I'm signing 90s, developing 80s, and I would cut 70s.
I wonder why she's the greatest.
I think,
we can't play with
you. I think the 70s, there's cool stuff, but really it's the 80s is the
That's
chunk.
Where,
like,
yeah.
And you could go like, I think with the 80s, you could go hip hop, you could go R&B, you could go like, MTV pop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could do that all night long.
Cindy Lauper, Blondie stuff. Yeah, you can go there.
90s, I mean, just.
90s is the reinvention of the 70s and the 80s, but for the hip hop generation, yeah, 90s is there.
Even looking back on it now, 90s might be the best era of music.
I think so too, for sure. I think everybody in our generation
years.
To go. I think everybody before would probably say the 80s, but to me it was the 90s too. Like the 90s was like what it was like hip hop was hitting its peak, R&B was hitting
crazy.
Its coolest peak. It was a good time. It was a great time.
The one thing I like about the 80s is that I feel like there was less segregation. I would say one thing about the 80s and even the 70s a little bit, but the 80s, like, Everybody watched MTV. Everybody knew all the songs. Whether you really were part of that culture or not, you fucked with those songs. Like, you know, you might see, hear the White Snake where the girl was on a car, and you still might be like, I remember that shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, true. You might be like, and you'll know the words. And
yeah,
if you're around kids, how the hell you know that shit?
Yeah.
So that's the one thing I liked. Like when I do the 80s set, I know I could get everybody because everybody knew Whitney Houston. Yep. Everybody knew Michael Jackson. Everybody knew Stevie Wonder.
That's real. They was the most famous people in the world.
You know, everybody knows Sweet Dreams.
Yeah.
It's just like, there's so many songs that, like, I felt like the 90s, everything kind of started to splinter.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you started getting people, like, now hip hop is just rocking with hip hop and R&B. Rock is just doing, you know, it's like a lot more segregated.
I want to ask one more, but the last one I would say. Jay-Z, mm-hmm. Kanye West, Drake.
You said Drake?
Yep.
And this is pertaining
this
to...
This is you. This is me. Your criteria, whatever you want.
That's easy. I would say, I think my toss-up would be between Jay-Z and Kanye.
Who you signing?
Who I'm signing. I think Kanye's creativity is just unmatched.
Unmatched. Ever, nigga. Like, it's like
off the charts.
It's just unmatched. But Jay-Z is definitely I would say is...
More perfect.
It is
what it is. Yeah. It's no experimentation there. If it is, it's once in a while.
But here's the thing about Jay-Z. I think people don't give him credit for his experimentation in terms of like the beats he used to choose.
Yeah.
I mean, from the beginning to the end, he always was on top of what's going to be the next person who's going to be popping.
Yeah.
He almost sometimes defined what was going to be the next sound in terms of hip hop. He took a lot of chances.
Yeah.
He's as far as like he's Premier and had those beats, but then, you know, he was one of the first people to really do rocked with the Neptunes and then Kanye and then.
That's real. He does have
Timberland.
It's like he was the all-star of all of their worlds. Like if you look at the Neptunes and who they had artists with, songs with, Jay's might can rival whoever. Like look at fucking Timberland. Jay and Timberland can rival, like he's Swiss even. Like everybody he got Swiss, what he got, yeah. It was like he kind of created a masterpiece with them.
He always group was, of songs. Like all those super producers, he was always one of the first people.
Yeah.
Giving them, maybe not the first, but one of the first, giving them their big break.
Yeah. That's real. That's real. So,
I'd probably cut Drake. I mean, only because, and I like Drake. Yeah. I think he has really good songs. But I feel like for me, it's not as relevant.
This is some advice I'm asking you. If I'm an artist and I'm coming up and I'm trying to figure out what to do, you travel the world with music. What genre of music, subgenre, has the most room to grow that you've seen where you're like, you might want to add a little bit of that to what you're doing because that's coming?
I mean, I feel like it's already here. Like that Afrobeats is just starting.
You think it's just getting up?
It's just getting up. And there's so many different, what people a lot of times don't realize is that Africa is so big.
Yeah.
And it's different styles of Afrobeats in different countries. So now you're starting to see the South African I'm a piano be popular, but there's so many different areas that you could probably tap into. But like, they got their foot in the door now. They feel like how hip hop felt
when
in
it first
the 80s.
Started. They in like, we got the next 40 years now, it's on.
They
you
feel
think it's gonna be that, you think that run gonna last that
100%,
long?
100%.
Wow.
You wanna know why?
Why?
Cause it's fun.
I was about to say it involves love.
It's fun, it's rhythmic, it's black. You know what I'm saying? It's just like
it's safe.
They got all the components where you could go from a water, which is like super, you know, poppy, to the Burna Boy, who, you know, is hip hop kind of like with Afrobeats, and then they have like a lot of political people talking about different things. So I feel like the range of where you could go with it, it feels like hip hop. Whereas hip hop, you could do so many different things with hip hop.
Do you still want to make and produce music?
Yeah, when I get some time.
I always say, like, I feel like it's the time. I feel like, Mike, if y'all don't find a way to, like, I'm for real, like, because it's like, he Trump could cheat. He could cheat, right? He has the sample pack. He has all these packs. He can easily just throw one of his in, have somebody come on, and I mean like, shit, ASAP.
True. No, I think, yeah, I that's high on my list, because honestly, for the last, since the pandemic, since June 2020, I have probably had only a few times I've been home more than like 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, I've been on the road. So it's just like, for me to really find a voice that I want to like present, I got to be still a little bit. So hopefully I'll get that chance. I'm going to try
to, like, because you used to send the dopest flips. You used to send me the dopest flips. Like, I'm telling, like, you know, like you said, it's a lot of it is timing. A lot of it is like going through the process.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, like, as long as it's like, it's not taking you away and it's kind of giving you another step in the world you in, I would do that. Like,
yeah, I feel like my passion project right now is my retreat and traveling.
Mm.
I think that has become like more my passion, and really that it's not really about the trips. It's about the community that I'm creating. And I think that, like, those trips are one thing, but it's the community and the things that we do year long. Like, I keep if you come on my retreat, I keep that group chat together all year long. So people, like, I have people coming from all over the world, like, and they'll be like, oh, I'm in New York. Who's in New York? And they're meeting up outside of
like
what I'm doing.
People.
And,
oh,
it's
wow.
a community people. Like, people, if, like, when Algebra Now, she came on a retreat, if she does a show here in Atlanta, she's got, like, 30 people that came on my retreat that are coming to support her now.
Mm.
You know, it's like, or she's in New York, people will just come and support her. So I'm, for right now, for me, the most important thing is building my community.
Yeah.
And as it grows, and, you know, I have, and it's funny because I have people who are industry people in there, people who are just doctors, there's people who are just post workers, you know, but they're all in the same, even, you know, you never really get to connect with people like that. And so that for me is like kind of been more of my passion than the music, but I feel like the music can also add to that. But I don't know, like, I'm in this, like, let's go places.
Can I get the playlist, Mike? I want to hear him now. Like, I be having vibes at the crib. I'm like, I can't afford trauma to come to the house, but I can damn sure play the playlist. I need the playlist, man. Well, listen, we have this part of the show we do called Credit Check.
Yes, sir.
It's important to us to give credit to each other, unsung heroes. We don't want flowers here. We want credit. Who are some people, two or three people that contributed to Trauma's success that you want to shout out?
I would say my parents first, because
I clap for the parents, man.
It's funny.
I love that.
My parents were educators, and this path that I went was definitely not the path that they had for me.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave me the tools. You know, like, I think one of the things that people always like, oh, you're humble, it's like certain things don't matter to me in terms of like material. Like, I'm never trying to like slight somebody over material. I'm never trying to cheat somebody so I can get a little edge over them. So I feel like those lessons that I learned as a kid helped me to have longevity. One, because even when I either up or down, I'm still the same person.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. You know, I've been up now for a lot, but even when I was down, you probably wouldn't even know.
Cause you still had a smile on your face. And you was always known for that.
And so, you know, I feel like they instilled certain things in me that helped me have longevity. I would say Mars for sure, because Mars, I never was going to be
Mars.
A DJ.
Love that nigga, bro.
I never was going to be a DJ. DJing as a living, I never even thought of it until Mars was paying for his college. Then Mars, you know, went on tour with Usher. And then I was just like, from the beginning, took it as a career.
Yeah.
Me, I was having fun.
You was gonna be
I was gonna be an electrical engineer. I was having fun. You know, I'm young. I'm 20. I'm not really.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of floating. Mm-hmm. He was the first person. He was like, I'm taking this as a career.
Yeah.
He always was comparing himself to like New York DJs.
Yes.
And I just, you know, at that time, New York DJs was so like, I just thought
we're never
gonna catch these guys.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he was the first person like, oh, I'm as dope as them.
Yeah. By the way, he ain't lying.
And so he always was like that's why I became a professional DJ. And then with the Super Friends, that's how we really were able to consolidate our power in Atlanta and make Atlanta DJs relevant. We're now like, if you tell stories to people who are younger than us about Atlanta DJs used to not be shit, they wouldn't believe you.
How? Where? When?
They would not believe you.
That's real.
Mm-hmm. Fourth.
No, you said two. You got your parents.
Third.
Your third.
On top of my head, I would say Biddy. He was like one of the people who kind of like,
he introduced us.
Because I had waves of my career where it's like, I was successful early. Like at 25, I was on the radio. But then it was a point where I was like, I'm not DJing anymore, or like, I'm not feeling it. I'm promoting parties. I was doing other things. And when I got back, really all the other DJs left town. Mm-hmm. And like the Super Friends, people always wonder, ask what happened to Super Friends. I was just like, really everybody became so successful. It's like, they left the city.
Yeah, that's real.
You know, everybody went on tour.
Everybody pretty got much pulled,
everybody
once you
got
get
pulled
hot,
on a tour.
Pull you out.
Everybody got pulled on tour, and I was like the only person left that a lot of club owners would trust.
Yeah.
To rock their party.
Yeah.
So then I just got back into it, and the invention of Serato really made my career take off, because I was always one. Anybody who doesn't know me, I was always a graphic designer. I was always on the computer.
Yeah, you make the flyers.
And I produced. So once it went to the computer, I was light years ahead of everybody in terms of knowing how to use a computer.
Yeah.
So like for me, that like 06 to like 09, when people were trying to figure it out, I was like out of here.
Yes.
I was gone.
Yeah.
And then I really, since then, I've been kind of like on that just same trajectory.
Yeah.
So like, but Biddy was the person who like, when I started like being on that, and I was just like, yo, I want to work with you. He was like, you need to treat yourself like an artist. You need to like look a certain way. Yeah. Like, and I kind of got that in theory, but I just wasn't doing it well.
Yeah, and he was, I say Biddy showed me what Fly was about. He was the one that showed me, don't dress like that. Hey, I don't look at girls walking down the street to this day because of him. Like, mm-hmm. We'd be in the car, you see a girl walking down the street, and Biddy was like, and he'll see me do like this, and Biddy wouldn't even look. He'd be like, turn your head straight, Ray. Mm-hmm. We don't look at people, just shit that you just, like as a nigga from the hood, you're like, what the fuck is wrong with her walking on
almost
the bus?
Like a lifestyle coach, yes.
Yeah, but he was a lifestyle coach. So shout out to Biddy, man. Biddy introduced us to Trauma, but he's an unsung hero to this city.
Yes.
And he done put so many people on, put so many people in position, and he doesn't get the just do he deserves. I'm praying that that's going to change, because the young niggas that he stopped his day to help are now up, and they should definitely show him mm-hmm. that love and treat him with that respect. So
for
he's
sure.
That. So this is the God Show.
Yes, sir.
It stands for Goats and Underdogs. The question to you is, do you feel like DJ Trauma is a goat or an underdog? If you do say an underdog.
I still feel like I'm an underdog for sure.
What do you have to accomplish?
Listen.
To say I'm a goat.
If you see me DJing a presidential ball, if you see me doing my own festival that has 100,000 people, if you see my Trauma Unit retreat and I got trips once a month, and we got my big one is like, you know, now a festival.
Yeah.
That's when I'm up. When I'm not working, and I'm still making money.
And on that note,
right.
That is why I'm going to tell you something. You are a goat. I don't have nobody who I've known that I has Jay-Z tapped on their shoulder and say, hey, you're killing it. I don't have nobody I know has Oprah praising them, has you working with the greatest comedian ever to me. Like, I'm proud to know you. That's goat status, bro.
I appreciate
so we
it,
celebrate you as a goat. Let's clap for Trauma.
Appreciate
you are a goat.
You said it.
The fact that you did everything you did and you didn't sell your soul, you didn't change who you are, you didn't fucking become a different person. Same love as last night as it is since when we was doing Black Beatles, same focus. That's what makes us who we are. Because success exposes us to who we are. And success is showing you that you're still a good nigga, which is why we celebrate you. This is The God Show. Shout out to our sponsors. Yoko Vodka, Two Lost Distribution, Larey Co. Shout out to all of you guys. YKTV, shout out to everybody who sponsors and supports the show. And shout out to y'all for watching. And man, fuck with Trauma. He has so many ways you can interact with him. I don't think nobody watching this can book him. But you can get his playlist. Notice he didn't say, nah, Ray. He's like, fucking right, again. I can't wait to be unaffordable, bro.
You could book me, just come with the bag.
Like, all right.
I'm DJing my, you know, I'm into tennis. I'm DJing the US Open this year. It's gonna be crazy.
Oh wow.
Light flex.
Shout out to Trauma Man. This is Shot, this is God Show. We out.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.